All right, Hartley, it's been a week. I gotta know, how has Vision Pro been for you?
What do you think I'm going to say?
This is tough. I feel like right now you're still in the honeymoon phase. So I'm going to say that you're having a lot of fun with it and that you're really liking it so far, but you're probably still trying to figure out how it's going to fit into your workflow.
I think that's a little bit more generous than the truth.
Oh, no. Oh, all right. Let's hear it. This is your episode.
It has some things that it does remarkably well.
Like?
And it is an incredibly impressive piece of technology. So I think the standout feature for me is immersive video, which is incredibly impressive. It's just a shame there's only, five that you can actually play.
Yeah.
Maybe seven. I don't remember exactly how many, but there's certainly not very many. And they're only maybe 7 to 13 minutes in duration. Mm-hmm. But I've really enjoyed watching those. Those really do feel like something special. I also think that a lot of the way that the UI has been designed, just visually, is excellent. I love the translucency. And I really enjoy the gestures as well to manipulate windows and just interact with the system. So I have good things to say about it.
Okay.
I am not so impressed with some other elements.
Like what?
Namely, comfort. Which I would actually say is unacceptably bad.
Did you try looking into getting any of the, or did you already get any of the like third party options out there that help dissipate some of that weight?
No. And I think that while those may help somewhat, to me, it's a serious issue when this device fully loaded is costing over $4,000.
Yeah.
And with two band options in the box, it is still not possible to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And this has been the biggest issue for me, is that I put it on and it's cool for the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
After 15 minutes, I'm quite uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
After half an hour, I am seriously uncomfortable. And after 45 minutes, it's unbearable.
Yeah. I'd say that's pretty accurate.
I think that it's such a shame because this is not actually a statement about the technology here. The eye tracking is brilliant. The displays are excellent. And the way that the technology has been conceived is outstanding. So why did they make it out of such a thick hunk of aluminium and glass? I just don't understand that, because it really does impair the experience. I also think that the cushion is a little bit too hard, mm-hmm. as well. And it's just strange to me that when so much work has gone into so many parts of this device, that seemingly so little thought has gone into something that's actually vital, which is just how comfortable it is to actually use it. You know, for example, the experience of watching movies is fantastic. So I watched Greyhound in it.
Okay. How long is that movie? That seems pretty long, right? Isn't it like 2 hours?
About 2 hours. And okay. It was really nice to be able to put my head back and kind of watch it up on the ceiling and lie back comfortably and have a bit of a different experience. However, I could not finish the movie because the comfort is just unacceptable.
Hey guys, just wanted to take a quick break to let you know that this episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Arena Club. Everyone remembers that one special card as a kid that got them into collecting. I think I have a couple. For me, with like sports, it was baseball, and I had a couple of really cool Mark McGwire cards. He was one of my favorite baseball players, and so I really enjoyed that. But I think the one that really stands out to me the most is when I got into Pokemon cards. And on that fateful Christmas morning in the late 90s, early 2000s, I pulled a Charizard holographic. And I still have it to this day. I still have all of my Pokemon cards. cards, baseball, football, you name it. Collecting, though, has come a long way since then, because now there's a new way to buy, sell, trade, and rip packs, and it's called Arena Club. Arena Club has taken repacks to another level. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides a real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. I remember opening my first Slab Pack on Arena Club in the same way because it brought the same rush and excitement of the unknown, and what card you were about to pull. I love that feeling, and even though I thought digital packs might make it lose that effect, it definitely still holds the excitement with Arena Club and the Slab Packs. I also love the transparency that Arena Club offers to see how rare it might be to hit one of those good cards. You also get upfront grades and just what's available inside of those packs. My favorite part is that you can make offers, send trades, and interact with others. So create your own personal showroom and start building your collection today. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/mac. That's arenaclub.com/mac for 10% off your first purchase. Thanks, Arena Club, for sponsoring this episode.
So even though the experience of watching the movie is brilliant, the displays are excellent, it's just such an oversight to me. And I find that really disappointing. I think that ultimately I have come round to what everyone else is saying about it and what you have said for months, which is that it is brilliant and it is a great demo. And there are some things that it does really well, but it is just not an everyday device. I have now not used it for 48 hours.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You've gone a lot. infinitely shorter than I gotta remember back, but here's the bright side of things, because I don't want everyone to think that like this is just going to be negativity the whole time, and maybe we'll dive deeper into like some of the things that you really like or some of the things that you want to see now that you've been using it. But it's only going to get better. I know I've said this before, but there will be improvements. This is the worst in theory. This is the worst that this product will ever be, hopefully. And so I think that this is why it's really important that, you know, not a room full of Apple employees and people that are too close to the project that probably don't want to speak up on the fact that like, hey, this might be a little too heavy. I don't know how rigorous the testing goes before it goes out to the public, but the public, the people who are spending that amount of money are the ones who are going to be bluntly and truthfully honest. And yeah, the biggest issue is the discomfort and the weight. But those are all things that can be fixed. And hopefully when it gets fixed, it's not at the extensive loss of some of the major features that do make it incredible. I personally don't think we need eyesight the front. I don't think we need the glass. I think we can do away with that. I don't care if it's plastic or some sort of like light frosted glass over
plastic. Needs to be made of plastic. It's just insane to me. The build of this device.
Now I'm guessing the glass is important for the cameras so that you can conceal the cameras, but the cameras can still see what it needs to see.
It's the metal that's the issue. Even the battery
weighs
so much. Mm-hmm.
But that's not on your head, thankfully.
No, but it's still in your pocket. And it's this strange thing that, you know, in the demos, they show you, or in the sort of marketing materials, they show you people walking around with them or standing up. But this battery is so heavy in your pocket, it's actually obtrusive.
Try the Belkin holster.
And it just seems so unnecessary. I've seen teardowns of this battery. And the casing is so unnecessarily thick. Why is that not made of, like a glossy white AirPods plastic so that it is unobtrusive? I think it is really quite irresponsible with the use of materials in this product. And I've been very critical of the AirPods Max for comfort, as you know, and for being too heavy and for having too much of a clamping effect. This is exactly the same, but worse.
It has to be the most frustrating thing about these two products, and that they're one of you know, headphones, maybe that's subjective to your, you know, whatever. You might not think they sound great, but they sound really good for like most of the people that put it on there. And dare you say some of the best in that class of, you know, headphones. But like, it's so uncomfortable to wear for long periods of time. It's frustrating. I would make the case that Vision Pro is probably one of the best experiences in this device category, but it's so uncomfortable for long periods of time that like, what is to stop you from just being like, oh, by the way, I noticed you have a TV behind you.
Finally, yeah, I do now.
Congratulations for those watching, you know, listening. There's finally a TV behind him. And my point of that is, what is to stop you from just turning on your TV and watching content rather than putting on something that you know you're going to take off that leaves your face all scuffed up, red marked, sweaty, and just uncomfortable? Like, what's to stop you from just looking at it, deciding I don't want to use it, and turn on your TV instead?
And I really want to say that I really wanted to love this, and I was so excited to use it.
Now, you need to give it more time, though. You need to give it some more time.
I will, but every time I have tried over the past, what has it been, I guess, today is the sixth day that I have had it. I have tried to work in it. I've tried to watch movies in it, as I say. I've tried to do sort of general productive things. I've tried to do some note-taking in Obsidian. I've tried to do some calendar management. I've tried to do some spreadsheet work. I've tried to do my day-to-day work using Mac mirroring or extended display or whatever it's called. It's not doable for me.
How was that Mac experience for you? Because that's one of the things I really want to get into.
It's really seamless. I'll say that much. However, this is where the display quality starts to fall down, because I find that text is not particularly sharp, and it almost has that kind of sparkle effect that you get with a matte display.
I told you.
And so no matter how big I can make it, it doesn't matter, because that's just not responsive enough. And that frame rate is also an issue, because I'm used to using a ProMotion display on my MacBook.
Well, yeah.
And it's then just a little bit more washed out. It's got this sparkle. It's lower resolution. And it just feels less responsive. So overall, then, the experience of working is not so good. And then you add in the fact that my face is uncomfortable. And not just my face, but also my head, because it also hurts. If you use the solo loop, it hurts the back of your head. If you use the dual loop band, it hurts the top of your head. So you can choose which kind of pain you prefer.
Which pain do you prefer, by the way?
Well, you know, you've also got to consider, do you want pain on your cheekbones or your brow? That's the other choice.
Brow would be the top, and cheekbones would be the solo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I preferred the solo.
I think I'm preferring the solo. It's also just easier to take on and off.
That's the biggest thing.
But it's just it's just such a shame. It's such a shame, because
I was just going to say real quick so that people don't forget. With the Mac part, I am inclined to let everyone, you know, to remind you especially, Hartley, that it is going to get better with Vision OS 2 once that, you know, higher resolution comes in, and then the multiple display options. In theory, I have not tried it, so I have no idea, but I'm hoping that makes a big difference.
That should do, and the ultra-wide display would be really nice. But it's like the software here is good. I don't think it's great, and we can come onto that as well. But the software is good. The hardware of the internals of this device are excellent. But the build is a major issue, and it's not a quality issue. It's just I just cannot conceive of how much of an oversight the comfort of this device is. Because if this was made of a lightweight plastic, I would have been able to keep it on for twice as long. And it shouldn't be the case that I'm watching a movie and I'm trying to relax and I'm thinking, oh, I really want to take it off now, but I kind of also want to see if I can watch a whole movie in Vision Pro. Why is that? Why am I even thinking about that? I shouldn't have to even. It should just be a good experience.
Did you like laying down and looking up like that? Or did you just feel like me where I felt like I was being crushed, like just like all that weight? Just
that
the...
didn't bother me. I quite like even okay. just like sitting on my sofa, just putting my head back and looking up.
That's okay. I think laying down is rough.
That's been quite a nice way to use it. But I just keep coming back to this issue of comfort. And I will stop laboring the point about comfort because I think it's pretty obvious, actually. I think there are some other issues that I wasn't expecting quite so much. One of them is the camera quality and the way that in low light environments, it just looks quite bad. So yeah, if you're using it, I mean, right now it's a really sunny day here. I mean, even my video feed here is super overexposed. So if I was using the Vision Pro now, it would probably look really good for pass-through video. But when it gets to the evening and you've got some soft lighting on, it's so noisy and grainy that it just not does, it does not look good in any way. It's very washed out. It's very gray, the image, even though these are effectively the same kind of technology as OLED displays where they should display deep blacks. It does not look good in low light. So it defeats the immersive nature of having that pass through, which has also been really disappointing. And again, when you're very aware that you've got this extremely heavy thing and then you're very aware that you're looking at a video feed, it's adding friction to using this device. And I also think that when you add in the fact that then text isn't particularly sharp in some situations, and frame rate as well, which I also found quite noticeable when playing just some simple mobile games, which have been really cool experiences. VR is great for gaming. There's not many great VR games for Vision Pro, but even just playing some stuff like, I don't know, Fruit Ninja. It's quite entertaining.
Sure.
But I'm aware of the frame rate. So, yeah, it's a shame. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
Because...
But that's the thing, is like you got to wait for Vision OS 2, though, and see if this helps change some of your thoughts. What if... Well, I mean, it's not going to change the comfort, which is the biggest thing.
Yeah, so. And it's not going to change the camera quality either. And it's not going to change the frame rate of the displays. And
I mean, if you remain in a well-lit environment, the cameras are fine. It's just you have to be in a well-lit environment.
But, you know...
And hopefully
chances
that gets improved in the future.
Chances are, when it's well lit, I'm working during the day.
Sure.
If I want to use this device in the evening, it's going to be dark. I'm going to have soft lighting on. And then we come to some of the other sort of strange software quirks that I've not been able to quite understand, where the software feels quite unfinished to me. Obviously, native apps is a major sticking point here. So in Vision OS 2, I believe there are not any new native apps at all. So when I'm using the clock app, for example, why is the clock app not native? And what I find even stranger about the fact that it's running the iPad version of the clock app is you're very limited as to what size you can even make that window. Whereas on Stage Manager, on my iPad, I can make that window really small and the window is way more versatile. So how is it that iPad OS has better window management than Vision OS, when Vision OS is based on iPad OS and it is running the same apps? And the fact that there are apps like Numbers is not native, the Clock app is not native, Shortcuts is not native. These are pretty important apps. That's disappointing.
I'm disappointed that we didn't get as many native apps as we thought we were going to get. This WWDC, wasn't that like kind of a big rumor that we were going to get a lot more native apps for Vision Pro? And it just kind of
didn't
happen.
So. You'd think so. So I find that really quite disappointing as well, because it feels like there isn't the support that there needs to be for this device internally at Apple. And I even think that some of the decisions are a bit strange, like Vision OS seems to really like light mode. But obviously, it's quite sensitive where you're just looking at these displays that are very close to your eyes. So it's not very gentle on your eyes at all when things like the Notes app is only available in light mode. which also just seems like a strange decision to me. Then even as I say, I've loved immersive video on it. I really have. But why are there so few immersive videos when this is the best thing? If there were some Apple TV series that were immersive.
Oh, would you actually watch it if Severance was shot in immersive video?
I think that the immersive video is so good on this that if there was content, I would probably use this as a go-to entertainment device, despite its comfort issues.
If you don't return it and you're patient enough, that all is coming. It's just why they didn't spend more time on what's clearly the best feature for this device and had a lot more prepped and ready to go for launch is the most puzzling decision for me out of all of your other ones. Like the light mode, you know, I'll give you the ones. I mean, you're inclined to your own opinion. Those things didn't bother me as much. To me, the biggest things are, what am I going to use this for? Which it's mostly entertainment. I've worked in it. I have edited an entire video using my Mac mirroring for Final Cut Pro. I thought it was fine. I really liked like having that immersive environment and like being able to have multiple windows. Like it was cool. It's definitely more productive because there's way more options available at your fingertips, literally your fingertips. It's the screen resolution is just not good. And like, having an ultra, those fixes are coming. That would be huge, and I cannot wait to try that out. We didn't talk about spatial video and spatial photos. Have you had a chance to try that out?
That is the other thing that I think is excellent.
Yes,
it really is an outstanding experience, and it was actually much better than I thought it could be.
Mm-hmm.
I think the immersive video and spatial photos and spatial videos are the highlight features. I will also actually say, as I come to think of it, I think the audio is brilliant.
The sound quality from the speakers. You don't need AirPods if you're by yourself. As long as you're not trying to disturb anyone else, you don't need headphones on.
And even the microphone quality in calls is really good, because obviously the mic is just above your mouth. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things are very good. And that is why I view this product as more of a missed opportunity and a shame. Because although I do accept that this is a first generation and these are early days, that isn't always an excuse.
Right.
And the reason why I don't think it's always an excuse is because if we take other first generation products like the first generation iPad or the first generation Apple Watch, which broadly speaking to some extent, the AirPods as well, which are some of the most recent first-generation products that we have had from Apple. These products have been almost as equally usable at their intended task as they are today. So if you had the first-generation iPad, you could watch YouTube on it, you could read books on it, you could browse on it, you could respond to some emails, pretty much all the same stuff that you do with your iPad today. The only exception maybe would be FaceTime calls because it didn't have a camera.
Right.
The Apple Watch, you could close your rings, you could get your notifications, heart rate monitoring. That is also pretty much the same. AirPods, almost identical, in fact. This is very different. This is not comparable to those first generation products because I don't actually think that this is for 99.9% of users actually usable. I think that where this product is usable is for people that have a very specific use case. Maybe you're an architect and you need to view AR models. Maybe it's training in a professional context where an enterprise has bought a few dozen of these and they are being used for that purpose. That makes sense to me. But as someone that is a tech enthusiast and as someone that is actually happy to part with my money for these sorts of experiences, it is not good enough in its current state, and not good enough to the extent that I actually think that they possibly should have left it a couple more years until some of these things could have been ready. So that if the software could have been a little bit more ready, a little bit more immersive video, some more native apps. While I love Vision OS visually, and I like the gestures, in the same way that using your iPad feels a lot slower than your Mac, using Vision OS feels a lot slower than using your iPad, which is quite a problem when I actually do want to respond to some emails or even do stuff like just respond to an iMessage. It takes me like 45 seconds to do that. Mm-hmm. So I wish that they would have left it a bit longer, because it's almost soured my view of where this is all going. And I know that we will get there, and I will still probably be first in line for the second generation version of this product. And I will be willing to give it a chance, but it's just a shame because it's taken the edge off my excitement and my enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And I wish they would have made it out of plastic, and I wish that they would have given it maybe another year to just get a few more things ready. I mean, even EyeSight, I don't think looks very good. I don't think that personas look good. I joined a FaceTime call this week with my persona, and there may as well have been screams. Oh. It was the personas just don't look good.
I need to see your I need to see your persona. I want to see what it looks like.
It's quite horrifying, and
I need to see it
again. It's like, it doesn't make a good impression. It just makes this product into this sort of weird thing that people laugh about, when actually you want this to be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I'm just kind of getting annoyed with it when I'm trying to work, and then my face hurts. And I think, I've only just put it on, and my face is already hurting.
Yeah, that's so. That is kind of the same stuff that I had. I think I was a little more excited about it than you were, though, at first. But like, you've also had months to like stew on it and read about it. I had no idea what to expect when I first tried mine. So like, my first experience was really good, because I've only ever tried a few other headsets, and this was way better, and I only did it for a short amount of time. I think Apple was really on point with how long I got to wear it. They got the right amount of time to where it like didn't start to hurt as much or at all, you know, until maybe the end. And like, I kind of felt that relief. It wasn't even like it hurt. It's just, I noticed how uncomfortable I was after I took it off. It was like, oh, wow, I feel so much better.
That was my experience when I tried it for the first time. I wasn't aware of the discomfort when I had it on, but I was aware of it when I took it off. The difference is, I tried on the day I received it to wear it for about 6 hours to work.
Jeez.
And I managed to keep it on for that period of time, but it's just very clear that this is just unacceptably uncomfortable. And every other time I've put it on, I just cannot. It's just not. It. You push through it initially, yeah, because you think that you want to be engaged in the experience. You can just forget about it. And when you get immersed in your work, to some extent you can. But the more painful it gets, eventually it's just not worth it. Because when I use my studio display here, or even when I use my iPad, I am not in pain. So I don't need to ignore actual pain. So it's just a strange proposition, and I just can't understand how that has been so overlooked when it's such an integral part of the product. And it shouldn't really be the case that you have to look to third-party headbands, and I'm really not sure how much of a dramatic difference they would really make.
Got to try it. I need to try it still, because I have not. And there are a couple of options now out there that are finally available that look decent. But man, this is kind of a bummer. I thought you were going to really like it. And then I thought we would have this conversation like a month or so. In which case I would be like, see, I told you, I don't want to take the victory lap now. That's way too early.
I unfortunately agree with what everyone told me and what everyone has said. And I think that really does say something about where this product is, unfortunately. I have not heard many people. There are some people that do love it and do use it every day. But even the people I know that do use it every day still say to me, I'm not really too sure what to do with this long term.
What do they do with it every day?
Like, they just like using it. They just like... maybe they watch some Apple TV, maybe they tinker around with some apps, but they don't have a clear place that this fits in. And that's the best that I've heard. And there does seem to be a very sizable number of people. And these are people from within the tech community. So these are not people that are unwilling to give things a chance, or to be interested in sort of technology that is a little bit odd. I mean, even something like AirPods, when AirPods first came out, were a little bit controversial for their design, but people in the tech community didn't care. This is different. And yeah, it is kind of a bummer because I was so excited for it. And the first 10, 15 minutes of using it was so good. And then it just kind of sets in about, oh, I really am quite uncomfortable. Oh, this is actually quite slow when I want to do anything. Oh, my eyes need to look at anything that I want to interact with, which is actually slower than any other input mechanism. And this is slower than an iPad. And oh, actually the pass-through video looks kind of bad in the environment I'm in. And I have so many thoughts about so many things. I mean, there's things I've not even mentioned, like when you're looking at a dark image, I find quite a lot of glare on the lenses, which is quite distracting. I even think it's a bit strange how a lot of the environments don't move. They're just static images. So why do some of them still say coming soon? And in Vision OS 2, they only give you one more when these are static images. Like when you look at clouds or I know that the new Bora Bora one is animated, but when it comes to the moon, the stars don't move. When you look at the mountaintop view, the clouds don't move. And when you notice that, that also doesn't then look great. Yeah. So there's so many layers to this. And then you can go into the fact that there's not many apps for it. I can't even get Netflix on it. I know that's not Apple's fault. I can't get YouTube on it. So I'm quite limited as to what I can actually run. Because Apple itself is not even giving me the podcast app, for example.
Bummer. I know you're probably bummed about that.
Yeah.
So you can't listen to us, all of our episodes. So one last thing I want to say is, is with all of those negative things that you had to say, and there were some positives in there, if you were given the choice for a day and you had to use a headset, Vision Pro or Meta Quest 3, which one would you pick? Like, which one's still the better experience? You've tried them both, right?
I mean, Vision Pro is still the better experience, and the displays are significantly better. And, of course, you have the ecosystem advantage. But if I was looking at it as just a challenge of, I've just got to keep this thing on all day, I might choose the Meta Quest just because it might not be physically painful.
Listen, there's plenty of reasons why one would choose. And we have to really reiterate this a million times. No one is telling you that you should go out and buy the Vision Pro if you're not somebody who is already looking at it, because A, you can afford it and take the hit on the money and know what you're getting into. This is not for the average consumer. We've talked about this, but it's a proof of concept for the average consumer on what is hopefully coming down the road in what would hopefully be a lighter, better form factor, a little bit more affordable for everybody. And with more content and apps and more stable OS and all of that. But I still feel like you've tried Vision Pro, you try Meta Quest, a lot of people are going to be like, yeah, this is way better. But there's still so many reasons why one would get the Meta Quest, not just pricing aside being, you know, the biggest factor of like $3,500 cheaper, but because
price
it's lighter.
Price does also come into it. And what I would say is that if this was priced at maybe $1,500, I may be more inclined to keep it, because it doesn't feel like quite such a significant purchase, and I can justify it as more of a novelty. You know, maybe I'll put it on once a week and play around with it because it's a cool toy. Mm-hmm. But a $4,000 toy?
Even at $500 with the Meta Quest or whatever it retails for now at this point, who are you still using it as a cool toy? Because that would be the same thing for me. It's not like I'm going to be using that every single day either. Mm-hmm. I know you can do a lot of the same things you can do on Vision Pro, but the displays are significantly worse, in my opinion, compared to what you're getting with the Vision Pro.
Yes.
Or maybe not significantly worse, but it's worse, and it's noticeably worse. And so, like, I still feel like my attitude would be like, oh, this is a cool toy. I might play a game or you know, maybe watch a video or something for a little bit, maybe. I don't know. It's not even that great to watch a video on it. So, like, I still feel like they're both kind of the same, just one significantly more expensive. But I feel like there's way more hope for the Vision Pro.
Yes.
Than there is for MetaQuest. And that's the thing that people need to understand.
The second generation of this device, if we forget about the low-cost model, which I think is going to, if I'm honest, is going to suffer from many of these issues, I think it will be lighter. But I think what we will effectively end up with is the same headset, but lighter at a lower price point. I'm talking about the second generation Vision Pro. If the second generation Vision Pro, by then we have a bunch of content for it. We're having these new features coming soon, like the ability to spatialize photos that you've already taken. Maybe you'll eventually be able to spatialize video that you've already taken as well. 3D movies, there will be far more of them in a few years' time. Immersive video, there will be far more of it. And of course, there are now cameras coming out that will shoot this, and this will be in the hands of creators as well. If it gets significantly lighter, if the cameras are better, you know, we now have 48 megapixel cameras on the iPhone. So if we end up with 48 megapixel cameras on the Vision Pro, and that pass-through video gets better, and we also have an M5 chip by then.
Yeah.
I also find it gets really hot. So maybe if the Apple Silicon that we are on by then runs cooler as well, and the thermals are better, and the cushion is softer, maybe the second generation will be what this product always should have been. But I agree that there is far more hope for the Vision lineup than there is for MetaQuest. And I still think that is a better experience. If I was choosing from one or the other and price didn't come into it, I would still choose the Vision Pro. But I just think it's just not where it needs to be right now. And that's a shame.
Before we move on, I'm just going to say this. I would much rather, I don't know if people are going to hate me for this, but I would rather Apple scrap this whole thing and just move into a Google Glass meets Ray-Ban Meta glasses. And I feel like that would be significantly more useful for most of the people out there. Like, if it just displayed useful AR related information, gave you notifications, was still a pair of sunglasses that transitioned into regular lenses, had good speakers so that you can use it as like a convection. That's not the right. What's the
conduction?
Conduction. I was like thinking of ovens there. Conduction headphones. And just had good cameras. Like, I feel like that would do really well for most people. No.
I'd love to see that sort of product, but actually what I would like them to do if I was in charge of the Vision lineup, is I would look at this headset and I would say, what does not actually need to be contained within that itself and what can go effectively in the battery pack? Because if the chip can go in the battery pack and the R1 chip as well, and we can try and massively cut down on what is actually going on inside the headset, I think that would be a good start. We've talked about materials a lot, but I think that if it was conceived more as a pair of goggles that you would use primarily for Mac mirroring and immersive video, then you change the proposition a little bit and you focus on a lightweight design, because although it looks a little bit like goggles from the front, the side profile of these is it is massive. It is a very, very big headset. If this actually was in the form factor of goggles and was significantly slimmer, and you have the cable going down to a pack which contains the battery and where you have the processing as well, I also think it would be a more appealing product personally to
me. Wonder if that battery would get too hot with all that going on in there. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, then we have this rumor about Apple looking to maybe require a tethered iPhone for the low-cost Vision headset that's coming out, which effectively might be the same idea.
Yeah.
So maybe they are moving in that direction anyway.
Would be interesting to see. All right. Well, if you are someone who just got a Vision Pro and would love to tell us your thoughts, please do that. Obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, you got the comments there, or you can hit us up on any of the social media platforms. Before we end this episode, though, I do want to quickly talk about, now that we're allowed to talk about it in the sense of like how we're experiencing it, Apple just released the public beta, which gives us the ability to not break whatever the agreement is that we get when we sign up for betas. So, but I do want to preface that this is a beta. We're not really reviewing it as much as we are saying how we are feeling about it. And, you know, there are bugs with betas. And I'll be honest with you, though, with that said, I think that there are some minor bugs that kind of drive me insane. But like, I know that they're going to be fixed. But like, as a whole, I think this has been really stable now that we're on the public beta and what was developer 3, basically. How about you?
Yes, I think they've been outstandingly stable. I've only had maybe one bug that's bothered me a little bit, but
what was that? I want to know if it's the same.
It was a screen time bug.
Oh, weird. Why would that bother you so much? Are you in screen time a lot?
No, well, I had screen time app limits set up before I upgraded to the betas.
Okay.
And then what it would do is it wouldn't let me dismiss. So when I reached an app limit, I could not dismiss it. And also settings would crash when I then tried to turn it off. So
there you go. It actually did its job way better than
did.
You could.
It did.
That's, like, I was that's actually hilarious.
Whatever I had set, I had to live with.
It's like, sorry, dude, you said you wanted a half hour of Twitter and this is what you're getting. I'm sorry.
Yep.
That's actually that's a feature now. It's actually pretty hilarious. No, mine has been like really trivial things, like if I go to change the tint of the, I wonder if this is happening to you, by the way, because when I had a conversation about this with others, they were like, that's strange. Obviously it's not supposed to react like this, but when you go to change the tint of the icon colors, when I would set it to a color, like a light shade of blue, I'll see if I can, you know, for those watching, maybe you can see what I'm talking about. Okay, so there's the shade of blue that I'm picking up, right? If I end it and want to keep it there, did you see how the color changed on the widgets? Mm. It went to a dark blue. And now when I swipe over and then come back, all those color icons are dark blue now. It like cannot stay on the shade. And it didn't do that in the first beta. So obviously I know that's a bug, and obviously just common sense tells me this is a bug, but I really like the dark icons. There are more dark icons now that are being compatible. Sometimes when the icon doesn't work well with dark mode, it looks bad, or like the tinted doesn't look very, I mean, that's what I mean with the tinted, it doesn't look very good. But you can get some pretty good choices. I just feel like there's more there that can be done, and I think it will be. Also, Control Center, early on there was a really weird bug that was driving me insane. Where I would swipe down and there would be a blank page instead of the normal page. And I could not get that to go away unless I like tried to edit. But all of that's good now. And it was really unstable at first. But I'm happy to report that all of it works super smooth. And the reasons why we're bringing up the bugs is because I want you to know that all of the major bugs that influenced my day to day, and the battery life was rough at first, and I feel like that's getting better now, has been basically fixed. And so if you're thinking about going to the public beta, but you're worried about how your phone's going to be, I see a lot of those comments on the videos that I make about them. I will say you'll be fine. I hope. I don't want to like say that and then you download it and then something happens to it. But like, your phone's not going to be bricked. You might run into some inconvenient bugs if you do take it upon yourself to do the public beta. I don't know if the public beta has the same reporting app feature. I'm guessing it does, right?
Yes, it does.
You should. Okay, good. I've only ever been on developer beta, so I don't... Yeah, please report the bugs so that Apple can actually fix them and that it doesn't go under the radar. With that said, what has been your favorite thing so far on iOS 18?
It's very difficult to pick out a favorite. I've been very much enjoying the dark mode icons, but actually a lesser known part of the home screen customizations options is the large option, which I really like, because it hides the text. And to me, the larger icons just look better. And I really like that sort of cleaner aesthetic. I know it's not for everyone, but I like it. And that's the whole point of customization, is that I can have what I like and you can have what you like.
Yeah, I don't hate the large icons. I just don't know that I like them being that big. It looks a little goofy to me. But I do love that it hides the text, for sure.
The redesigned control center is also great, I think. I'm really enjoying being able to choose what I want there. I haven't quite worked out exactly everything I want there yet, but there's so much flexibility here, and it'll be really good when developers also start fully integrating with this with App Intents as well.
I think that's the reason why I haven't tried to like fully customize yet, is I want to wait and see what we get from developers. That's what's really going to make that better. The action button will then be able to get all of those quick toggles, or control center quick. What are they calling them? Quick toggles, quick buttons.
On the front
lock screen, it's called quick buttons, I guess. I don't know. Right. Which you can also change those, by the way. So there's plenty of customization options. That's actually one of the videos that I just put out. If you're watching this on Friday, it was out on Wednesday. So please go check it out. It's all of the home screen and lock screen customization that you can do. There's tons of things here. You can hide and lock apps. That's another thing that we didn't really talk about a lot.
Yes. And you have the hidden folder as well.
Yeah. I do think the app library could maybe be next with the whole customization thing. Like, let me create a folder down here, maybe. Let me move some of these out. What if I don't want a folder like this? You know? What do you think? Or is that just overdoing it?
I really like the app library. I agree. I wish it could do more. I wish that if I didn't like where an app was. So sometimes apps have obscure categories like lifestyle. And I don't really maybe view an app as a lifestyle app. I view it as a very specific kind of, I don't know, fitness app. And then I want that to go in a folder called fitness. So I would like the ability to sort of send an app from one folder to another or create them. But I also don't know if it's the most intuitive thing, the way that you kind of dive into folders here. So I really like the app library. I would like to see that iterated on in future versions of iOS.
What about, let's see, what else is there that is...
The Photos app redesign?
Oh, okay. That's the biggest thing where we can kind of get more opinion-y on it because... Well, I have heard that a lot of people don't love it, and then I think there are some people who really do love it. Where do you stand on the whole redesign of it?
I'm somewhere in between where I really like some of it. I really like the way that you can sort of customize it and pin what you want up there and have a single continuous view. I find that way more engaging. I think the thing that it is missing, and I think this is people's main issue, is the ease of getting into what you think of as your main camera roll, because although it is up there at the top, it doesn't feel like just a one tap thing to just get straight back to that continuous feed of photos. And I think we'll get used to it, to be honest. I don't think it's a particularly big deal, but I understand why it's been a controversial change, because it's something that we all use so much.
What do you mean getting back into all your photos, like when you dive into a different section?
Yes, and you sort of are aware that when you scroll down, you're scrolling away from your main feed of photos. So it takes some getting used to.
I don't know that I understand that part. When you scroll down...
Well, like if I swipe across from my photos and I go then to like featured photos
Okay.
And maybe I scroll down and I'm looking somewhere else. Well, how do I now get back to my actual camera roll?
You're right.
And it kind of buries the camera roll, which is such an important thing.
I think I've been kind of primarily a person who just uses all photos all the time and doesn't really dive into any of these sections. So for me, it hasn't really been that big of a huge like change. But I do love that you have the custom options to be able to swipe and be like, hey, I specifically need, you know, my featured photos. You can swipe left here and add another section if you want. You got your featured memories and favorites, and really I'm a favorites person, videos or all photos, and then sometimes I'll use the months and years, but like that's just kind of all encompassing into this. So I mean, to me, I don't mind it. I think if I get bored, sometimes I scroll down on that first page there and you have like more things that you can kind of explore, but like am I actually going to use any of this stuff? I don't know. Time will tell.
Overall, but I quite like it.
Yeah, I think it's fine, personally. Anyways, that's the Photos app. There's a bunch of other things. I just really think this is a solid update, especially with how well it's running. I have no complaints. There's going to be plenty of content that we're going to have. We can talk about this again when the iPhone comes out and see if there's any new iOS 18 related features in the iPhone and how that works together. But yeah, overall public beta is pretty solid. So if you were on the fence, I recommend it, unless Hartley disagrees.
No, I agree.
Cool. All right, well, that's it. Everyone go yell at Hartley or praise him if you think he's right about his Vision Pro review so far, his 1 week review. Are you going to review this for the site? Kind of give it your own spin?
I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty down on the Vision Pro at the moment. I don't know if that would be a good idea.
Hey, why not? You gotta, as long as you're being honest, then you need to be able to do that. I think it's important for the people to hear your honesty. And I don't think that you would not be honest. So, okay. Well, let us know if Hartley should do that. And we'll catch everybody in the next episode.